morning, I would like to speak a little bit about security. We all want a certain amount of security. For men that go out to work or ladies that go out to work, we want security in our job, that it's going to last, that it's a job that gives us satisfaction. Security in our home. When we get married and establish a home with a wife and a husband, we want security there. We want to know, us men, when we go out and work, that we come back and supper is there, and the home is there, the kids are there, and vice versa for the ladies, that when they go out, they have a faithful man attending to the home. Yes, security. We want security in our friendship. This guy is a friend of me as long as I do something for him. But the minute I'm not willing to do something for him, he's not my friend. That's not security. But a friend that sticks with you, that isn't looking necessarily something from you. Yes, we want security. And as we look at the TV, we see the car commercials, and we see how they say that this car is better than the other in accident, in case of an accident. And because it has an airbag on the side as well as an airbag in the front. And we're all looking for that security. And that's true in life's journey too. You and I are looking for security. And, you know, we here as working people and whatnot look for that. But, you know, there's great people that look for security, too. And the Queen Victoria of England was looking for security. Not in financial things, but in things pertaining to eternal life. And I'd like to read this little bit of something to you as we start and think about security. Now here's a great woman, Queen Victoria, who lived in the 1800s, and they had a world domination. But this is what Queen Victoria of England once heard a sermon that greatly impressed her. Later she asked the chaplain, "Is it possible to be absolutely sure in this life of eternal safety?" He replied, "I know of no way that one could be absolutely sure." This incident was later published in the court news and came to the attention of a minister of the gospel by the name of John Townsend. After much thought and prayer, he sent a letter to the Queen. "To your gracious majesty, our beloved Queen Victoria, from one of her most humble subjects, with trembling hands, but love-filled heart, and because I know that we can be absolutely sure, even now, of our eternal life in the home Jesus went to prepare, I would ask you, most gracious majesty, to read the following passages of Scripture. John 3:16, Romans 10:9, 10, and 13. These passages prove there is full assurance of salvation by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ for those who believe and accept Him and His finished work. Several days later, Townsend received this note: "Your letter of recent date received, and in reply, I would state that I have carefully and prayerfully read the portions of Scripture you referred to. I believe in the finished work of Christ for me, and trust by God's grace to meet you in the home for which He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Signed, Victoria Guelph." Yes, security. She was looking for the security of knowing that someday she would be in heaven. And you too, and I too, can have that security. And we do have it because of God's word. In John 3:16, it tells us that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved, and whosoever believeth, and you say, yes, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins, and you receive Him, and that's salvation. And there's a little story I'd like to tell you about believing. Years ago, around the first of the century, there was a guy that strung a rope across Niagara Falls. It was about that big around. And I'm sure you've heard the story, but he took a wheelbarrow and he went across the falls. He turned around and went back. And he got to the other side and he said, how many believe I can push this wheelbarrow across? And of course, everybody believed it. Okay, he says, who's going to get in and go? You know, that's the difference in believing. Believing faith. And when we see the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we must have believing faith that we put our trust in Him for our security, for now and for eternity. Yes, Townsend wrote that letter to Queen Elizabeth. And I'll just break here to say that, you know, there were three men that started this assembly in a little schoolhouse on Milestrip Road. And one was Mr. Fairbairn and Mr. Tweedy and John Townsend. And here today, we enjoy God's word. And it's good to know of a surety that we have eternal life. And in Romans 10, we all know that pretty good, but I won't attempt to quote it. Romans 10, that was another one that he wrote that she should read, and she read it. You know, John Townsend didn't say, you can have eternal life because I believe it, or because of this and what I say. You know, he pointed her to God's word. And we have God's word to stand on. And in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For in the 13th verse of Romans it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know, I'm so glad that it's whosoever, not somebody that works well and God picks them out for his eternal kingdom. No, the Lord Jesus Christ came and died for whosoever will. Queen Victoria or Don Palmer. You know, doesn't make no difference. Whosoever believes, whosoever will put themselves in that faith wheelbarrow and trust the Lord. And so, and 1 John 1:12 tells us, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on him. That's security, my friend. Security for eternity. To know that one is going to be with God in heaven. Yes? And in Galatians 4, kind of a favorite passage of mine, we read this, thinking about security. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law. We were cursed by the law. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Yes, the Lord came and shed his blood to redeem us, that we might be adopted into his family as a son. And you know, I'm a son of my father, Ed Palmer, and you know, it doesn't make no difference how good I am or how bad I might conduct myself, I'm still Ed Palmer's son. And you know, dear friend, this morning, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and commit your soul to him and ask him to forgive you, you became a son and a daughter of the Lord God Almighty. Yes? You and I, who have put our faith and trust in him, are in the family of God. The blood of Christ makes us safe. That took care of the sin question. But you know, the Word of God makes us sure. This is God's Word. And he tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. 1 John 1:7 and 9, we read this. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. If we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ makes us safe. Sure, safe. and the word makes us sure. 1 Peter 1:18 tells us that for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood. Of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Yes, the Lord didn't take care of our sins with monetary substance that would decay or rot. He took care of it with his own precious blood. What security is that? Isn't that wonderful? Yes. But you know, that's good to have that security about salvation and about where we will spend eternity. But you know, there's other security that we need to have. Just like that, we were talking about jobs and cars and family and everything for this life, yes? The Christian life down here. And the walk. What about the security there? Is it safe? As we walk in this wicked world, are we safe? Or are we in danger? 1 Peter 5:7. Let's look at that for a moment. And we read this. Thinking about security. Casting all your care upon him. Verse 7 of the chapter 5. For he careth for you. Then Peter goes on to exhort Timothy, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Yes, you know, Satan is the prince and the power of the air. He's the spirit that worketh now in the children of disobedience. And you know, our Christian walk and our Christian life down here, till we go home to glory, he is trying to thwart, to make us stumble. We need to beware of the devil. And you know, in the margin of my Bible, it says, seeking. This roaring lion is going about seeking whom he may devour. And in my margin, I got written, the unguarded soul. The person who does not guard against sin and the devil. The devil wants to trip you and I up. That's his main concern. And he's going about seeking the one who's got his back turned, who is not watching, and he'll devour you in sin that mars and casts doubt on our life. Yes? In verse 7 it says, cast all your care upon him. And Peter was a fisherman. And you know, he would cast his net out, and then he had to just hope that the fish got in it. And you know, when we cast our cares to the Lord, we want to cast them on him and then not try to take care of them ourselves. Yes, it's good to put feet on your prayers, but sometimes we cast it and then we go right on worrying about it. Yes, and then in Luke 12:6-7, it tells us that God cares for you and I. He cares for the sparrow. How much more he would care for you. And then in verse 8 of chapter 5, Peter says, be sober. Why? That's clear thinking. You want to have your mind so it thinks right. Why would we have it? We don't want to be caught by this roaring lion. You don't want to be caught. That's why you want to have clear thinking. And then he says, be vigilant. That means watch for danger. Be aware. Be watching all the time on your right and your left. Why? Because we don't want to get caught. I don't want to get caught. You don't want to get caught. And you know, if we are that way, that's some security. He seeks to attack the Christian, the person who is not guarding against. Then you say, well, what is our security then? We got to guard, we got to watch. What is our guard? Well, there's a few things that will take care of this in fine shape. One of them is the Word of God. That's one of our guards. If we're in it, if we're meditating upon it. Psalms 119:9-11. We read that thy word, I'll find it here. Psalms 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Yes, we need to read God's word. We need to hide it in our heart. I won't read the rest of it because my time is whipping by here. We need to be constantly putting it before us. Wherewithal shall we cleanse our way? By reading God's word. Yes. And then in Psalm 19, we read, verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. And then the 14th verse, let the words of thy mouth and the meditation of mine heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Yes, we can guard by the word of God. And I got to hurry. And then there's prayer. Security in our life by praying. And in Luke 22:40-46, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said to his disciples, pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. Pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. And we as believers should pray and ask God to guard our day as we wake up in the morning. Direct our path so we too have a guard against this roaring lion that's going about seeking to stumble to Christians. And in Philippians, it tells us in Philippians 4:5, he reads, I'll get it here. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. In everything. You know, the Lord is interested in everything you and I do. And we need to go to Him in prayer. Yes? And then, you know, as born-again believers, we're in a family. We're in the family of God. It tells us in Galatians, we read it, that we were sons. We become sons. And you and I are in the family of God. We're sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. And you know, we need to seek each other's fellowship. Those who have life's precious space, we need to seek to be around and with and help. That will guard us against that roaring lion that is seeking to devour your soul day by day. We'll be in the fellowship and around God's Word instead of being out in the world. And that's why we come to meetings and have fellowship one with another, to guard against that. And in Proverbs, and in the fourth chapter of Proverbs, the writer says, he says, my son, fourth chapter of Proverbs, verse 20, my son, attend to my words. We were just talking about the word of God and the need of being in it for security against that lion. And then in verse 21 it says, let them not depart from thine eyes. You know, we've got to be careful where our eyes go. And then in verse 20 we read about our ears listening to the sayings. And you know, as well as reading God's Word, we need to listen to what it has to say to us. Not only the words that are there, but it says don't do this or do that. You need to speak to that person. Yes, we need to watch and where our eyes are and where our ears are. And we'll have security if we do that from that lion. You know, you can't help a bird from flying over your head. But you know, you don't have to build a nest there for him to lodge in, you know. And sometimes we can't help evil thoughts, but we can ask God to forgive us and to put them far from us. So we have to watch our ears and our eyes and our heart. We need to love one another. God's word admonishes us to love one another, to love the Lord with all our heart. That's keeping us from that wicked one. And we won't go into the verses, but in Jude 21 it tells us to keep ourselves in the love of God. And then in John 15 it tells us if we do his commandments, we will be in the love of God. And you know, and then in verse 26 down here it says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. You know, dear child of God, if we ponder our path, if we watch our path, we will be established. And that wicked one will not be able to attack us. In Psalms 119:105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You know, it's a lamp, but you know, the only way that you can turn that lamp on is by reading it. And when we read it and understand what God wants us to do, it shows light for us to go. Thy word is a lamp and a light. So we have to turn it on. And then our relationship. We need to keep a good relationship with the Lord. And in Psalm 31, Psalm 31 and verse 19 and 20, this is what it says. Oh, how great are thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. Yes? If we seek to be in God's word and do these things, the Lord hides us in the secret of his presence. And I don't know if we, did we pass these out? Oh, Tom's got a song here. You know, we're looking for security and we want to guard against that roaring lion. And there's a song here that we had in our song book previous to the one that we have now, and it's in the secret of his presence. That's the secret of guarding against the devil and his onslaughts to ruin our lives and to give us security. And it goes like this. In the secret of his presence, how my soul delights to hide. Oh, how precious are the lessons which I learned at Jesus' side. Earthly cares can never vex me, neither trials lay me low. For when Satan comes to tempt me, to the secret place I go. when my soul is faint and thirsty, neath the shadow of his wings, there is cool and pleasant shelter in a fresh and crystal spring. And my Savior rests beside me as we hold communion sweet. If I tried, I could not utter what he says when thus we meet. Only this I know, I tell him all my doubts, my griefs and fears. Oh, how patiently he listens, and my drooping soul he cheers. Do you think he never reproves me? What a false friend he would be if he never, never told me of the sin which he must see. Would you like to know the sweetness of the secret of the Lord? Go hide beneath his shadow. This shall then be your reward. And where'er you leave the silence of that happy meeting place, you must mind and bear the image of the Master in your faith. Yes? I don't know whether we can sing it or not. How many know this song? Not any. Well, we won't bother singing it, I don't think. But, you know, take this home and read it. If we sung it, I would say let's sing it with intent and commitment. You know, in the secret of his presence, where my soul delights lies. I don't know whether I can say that truly. But might each of you be able to say that and find the security God's word and of prayer that will keep you in away from the roaring lion which is seeking to devour each and every one of us and make a sham of our Christian life, and it makes a sham of our testimony and everything. May God help us this day. Security, not only eternal security, but security in Christian life.